Lord, may we hear your voice and know your presence among us this morning. Amen. I think you can tell a lot about a people by watching how they exchange gifts. Gift giving isn't simply about exchanging objects. It's a way of expressing relationships. Growing up, my family struggled with gift giving, especially for anyone who was older than a teenager. They'd often opt for something quick and easy, like giving a gift card. I think they found it hard because when you're giving the perfect gift, well, it means you need to step aside from your own tastes and preferences. Perhaps the only thing harder than giving the perfect gift is receiving the perfect gift, because it means that someone has taken the time to get to know you, perhaps better than you know yourself. Receiving such a gift can elicit all kinds of mixed feelings, can't they? Not just of wonder at this wonderful thing you've received, but maybe a little bit of embarrassment as you hand over your gift card to them. Some of the most amazing gifts are not objects at all. Sometimes they can be an experience, like an unexpected trip. Other times the best gifts are actually a person. Someone who quite unexpectedly changes us from the inside out. Our readings this morning are all about gifts, not of objects, but of people. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, draws our attention to the gift that he and every Christian has received. This gift works in us and through us and out of us in surprising ways. And Paul wants to know, wants his listeners to understand that they have received this gift from God, this gift out of grace. In our world, gifts are exchanged on the basis of reciprocity, aren't they? If one kid gets a bike for Christmas, then everyone gets a bike for Christmas. But, you know, if one gets a bike with, you know, the full-on front and rear shocks, then you can't give your other kid a bone rattler, can you? They have to be of equal value, at least if you want to preserve peace in your family. In the ancient world, gifts operated a little differently. They weren't between family members so much as between a superior and a subordinate. So a subordinate would bring a gift to their superior, often as a matter of obligation, often as a way of demonstrating their fealty and their loyalty. Superiors would give gifts to their subordinates, often as a reward for their loyalty. In many ways, what was going on is they are managing favour within the relationship through a gift exchange. And religion would often work in the same way. Because humans were less than the gods, divine favour could be cultivated if you brought a gift to the local temple. Think of ancient temples a bit like outdoor barbecues. You know, the sacrifice would be brought, it would be prepared, and the gods would savour all those wonderful barbecue aromas and be happy and delighted by those things. So if you wanted, or if you needed, a really big favour, you would bring the best gift you could manage. And if you got what you asked for, you'd return with something as a way of saying thank you. Reciprocity was always the name of the game. The bigger the favour, the bigger the gift. But if you happened to bring something paltry, you then risked offending the gods. Because the gods never liked being shortchanged, particularly in the gift department. But Paul turns all of this understanding upside down. we don't give God anything. We don't get God's attention by the gifts we give him. We can't bribe God. Nor is God easily offended by what we bring. In fact, it is God who has given humanity everything out of God's graciousness and God's mercy. This gift does not depend upon us paying any attention. It's not conditional upon our good behavior, nor upon how grateful or how thankful we are. Paul makes it clear earlier in his letter that when we were of absolutely no use to God, God gave humanity this gift anyway. It's in this spirit that Paul makes his plea to us that we should be living sacrifices. Now, I know this sounds pretty icky because living sacrifices have a habit of wriggling off the barbecue, so to speak. But what we're doing is not offering God a bribe. And it's not done out of obligation. What we're doing is saying thank you for everything that God gives us. We give back to God not an object, not someone else, but ourselves. Who we are, we give back to God in response to all that God has given us. So what is this gift that God has given us? What have we received? We get a glimpse of this in this conversation that happens between Peter and Jesus in our gospel reading. I'd like to suggest that this gift is threefold. The first gift that we see is God's own Son, Jesus. He is the one who makes God plain and understandable to everyone. And although this gift is given to all of humanity, not everyone receives it or understands what's going on. This is why Jesus asked Peter this really important question. Do people get me? When they look at me, do they understand what's going on? Peter says, well, when most people see you, they see a prophet. They might see even the greatest prophet, Elijah, someone who's come back to show us the way to God. Well, what about you? Asks Jesus. Do you get what I'm on about? And Peter responds without any hesitation. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter says, in effect, I understand what you're on about, Jesus. You're not simply a good person. You're not simply a great and godly person. You are God's chosen one, someone who has the closest relationship possible with God. When we hear you speak, Jesus, we hear God talk. When we look at you, Jesus, we see God at work. You are the one who helps us to listen. You are the one who helps us to know. You are the one who helps us to follow God. Jesus responds, he makes it pretty clear, doesn't he, that Peter's insight is not born out of his own cleverness or education. It is a gift. This breakthrough that Peter has is given by God. It's a kairos moment that is rich with potential and bringing with opportunity, but it's incomplete. Peter does not know everything about Jesus in this moment. He's only reached the beginning. This understanding of Jesus yields a second gift. Jesus gives Peter a new name, the Rock. How cool is that? What a cool nickname. You are the Rock. He's solid. Peter is dependable. Peter is reliable. But I think Jesus has a bit of sense of humor too, because he knows how Peter is prone to tripping over things like rocks. The fact is, when Peter understands who Jesus really is, Peter begins to change. He might look the same, he might sound the same, but Peter's heart and mind is shifting. So how does Peter's character and mind and heart begin to shift? I think this is the third gift that he receives. The kingdom, the keys to the kingdom of heaven is the third gift. It's through a relationship with Jesus that we are changed. And it's through that relationship that a whole new life begins to open up for Peter. Lots of people hear these words and hear them as though Jesus is saying, well, this is an exclusive deal for you and you alone, Peter. You've got the power to control access to God. And certainly, lots of traditions have understood it this way, as though they are saying that because Peter has the authority to make the rules and to grant the exemptions, then he alone controls access to who God is. I'm not so sure that's how it works. I think, in fact, every Christian receives this gift that was given to Peter. The responsibility, it's not simply access into heaven, but it's the responsibility to bind and to loosen. Some people have said it to me that leadership is a lot like standing before a fire. And you've got a bucket in one hand containing water and a bucket in the other hand containing petrol. The art of leadership is knowing when to use which bucket. I think discipleship is a lot like the same. It's the same kind of deal. With Jesus, we learn how to constrain the worst things in human life. We need to learn how to constrain our anger and our violence and above all, our fear. These things need to learn how to be bound and constrained and limited so they don't run amok in our lives. We also need to learn how to release the best things. To set things free, we need to be freed to love and to serve and to seek justice in this world. So you can see how people get these things so terribly back to front. Jesus didn't come to tie us down with rules and with regulations, but to set us free so that we might pursue justice and build God's peace in this world. All of which brings me back to Paul. Because if we've received this insight, if we've received this gift, then we've got to do something with it. This gift is given not that we might enrich ourselves. It's certainly not given for us to protect ourselves. But we are to express gratitude for this gift by building up the kind of community that reflects and reveals God's character to the world. We're meant to invest ourselves in a place where others can find healing and peace and forgiveness. Just as God brings freedom and hope and peace into our lives, so we build a place that enables them to find freedom and peace and hope too. This is why Paul encourages his listeners to use their gifts to build up the body. This is such an active and dynamic vision, isn't it? But notice what Paul highlights and what he omits from this list of gifts. The gifts of prophecy and faith, serving and teaching, giving and leading are all spotlighted because, well, these are gifts that help people to grow. They are gifts that help people to understand God and to respond with energy and appropriateness. You'll notice the gifts that he misses, gifts that we might cherish, the gift of complaining about things, or the gift of telling someone else to fix something quickly, or the gifts of showing up when the work is all done. These are not the gifts that God gives us. Rather, Paul knows that God's people can only be all that it can be when everyone brings all that they are into the life of the church and gives it to others so that we all might grow in freedom and hope and love without holding back, without walking off, without coasting upon the work of others. So let me wrap this up. Despite our lowly status, God has turned everything upside down for us. God has given to us the person who is most precious and dear to him, his son, Jesus, so that we might be all that we can and should become. We are not to keep this by ourselves. It's only together with God's help that we become our true selves, understanding Christ and sharing his work, building God's kingdom of justice and peace in this world. So the only challenge before us today is, do you want to understand Jesus? Do you want to understand who you are? Do you want to share in what God wants to do in this world? Because it all starts today. It can all start right now as we see and understand Jesus as the Son of the living God who welcomes us into his presence and holds nothing back for anyone. Amen.